My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my privilege to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This program features the ministry of Pastor Wentley Phipps. And today, Pastor Phipps has a message that he has prepared for us. We're going to talk a bit about that in just a moment, but we also have some music by Wentley Phipps. Today, we have a song entitled As We Sail to Heaven's Shore, and we're going to share that song with you at the beginning of our program here. So I do hope that you will stay tuned because, as usual, I'm sure that you're going to be blessed and you're going to appreciate and hopefully put into practice what you hear today on The More Abundant Life. Here's music now by Wentley Phipps.
Storms may rise on seas unknown, while we journey towards our home. Surely we'll learn what grace is for as we sail to heaven's shore. Send us strength, O pilgrim guide. Sin would drown us in its tide. Be close at hand and go before as we sail to heaven's shore. Holy Spirit, lead us on. Give us courage, bring the song. Lord, we trust your Father's care will convey us safely there. Open or seal off every door as we sail to heaven's shore. Straighten our course with every prayer. Let heaven's breezes speed us there and grant us mercy evermore as we sail to heaven's shore. Friend, from dawn's light to evening's end, each passing day we love you more as we sail to heaven's shore, as we sail to heaven's shore.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wentley Phipps, a song entitled As We Sail to Heaven's Shore, and that's from the CD release entitled Wentley Phipps. The message for today is entitled We Have an Anchor. Here is Pastor Phipps now with that message.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 19. The word of God says, which hope we have as a what?
Anchor.
An anchor of the soul, right, both sure and steadfast.
Yes, sir.
And which entereth into that within the veil.
Mercy.
And verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A date was set for the Apostle Paul to sail to Italy, along with some other prisoners. Paul was placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius. Church, during the first century, traveling by sea was particularly dangerous. They had no sophisticated compass. I travel with I love gadgets. And I travel with a little gadget that's a handheld GPS unit. I've used it out on the ocean. Can you imagine sitting in the middle of the Mediterranean and being able to see exactly where you are? They didn't have any sophisticated GPS system. A captain of a ship had to guide his ship by the light of the stars. Julius was the head of the emperor's regiment, the one who was responsible for transporting Paul and the other prisoners to Rome. They boarded a ship, set sail, heading north along the coast. The servant of God says the voyage began very well. They turned west, sailed to the coastal town of Fair Havens. Paul advised the owners of the ship, if we sail now on further from here, we're taking an unnecessary risk. For this time of year, the storms can be sudden and extremely violent. Paul said, we can lose the ship, its cargo, and even our very lives. Brothers and sisters, Julius listened instead not to Paul, but to the owner of the ship. He listened to the captain rather than to Paul and decided that they should sail. Now, I want you to know, it is a dangerous thing when amateurs listen to overconfident professionals. It is a dangerous thing when amateurs listen to overconfident professionals. It's kind of like the blind leading the blind. One is blinded by ignorance, the other is blinded by pride. Both will fall into the ditch together. The ship's captain said to himself, what does Paul know about sailing? I've been sailing these seas for 40 years, and I'm not going to let some brooding particular preacher who is out of his league tell me how to run my ship. A lot of people forget that sometimes people on their knees can see more than experts on tiptoe. The other sailors chimed in with the captain. It's very rare, brothers and sisters, that an underling will tell one that is over him what they really think.
That's right.
You know, it's very rare that people tell their supervisors, you're wrong. Are you with me today? That's not a good idea, some people say. Paul spoke up. He said, no, I'm not a sailor. I'm a preacher. But I talked to the Lord this morning. He said, don't sail. It's too dangerous if we sail. But the centurion decided to follow his own judgment and the judgment of the majority. Now, brothers and sisters, poll the audience on who wants to be a millionaire. But when your soul's at stake, don't poll the audience. When your life's in jeopardy, don't poll the audience. Ask for a word from the Lord when your soul's at stake. Sometimes all the doctors and experts will say one thing, and the Lord will send one little doctor who will buck the conventional wisdom of the majority, and the Lord will speak to that one doctor saying, it's too dangerous. He'll confirm it within your own spirit. Years ago, one of my sons had an awful condition that caused his neck to swell up. And the doctors we consulted recommended surgery. The lead doctor early in the morning on the day of the surgery, we got a call from this doctor who was to perform the surgery saying, you must have had an angel keeping me awake all night long. I couldn't sleep, he said, all night long. This surgery, he said, is a little too involved for me. and I would rather see it done at another hospital by somebody else. When my son finally had the surgery, it was successful, but thank God for an honest, God-fearing surgeon who was humble enough to say, I don't know it all. And the Lord spoke to me, kept me awake all night long, and said, too dangerous. Don't do it. Paul said to the captain of the ship, I spoke to Jesus this morning. Don't do it. Don't sail. Let's wait. Let's be patient. The captain disregarded the counsel of the apostles, and the ship set sail to Phoenix. Suddenly, out on the open water, the Bible says they were hit by a powerful storm. It hit the ship so hard that the sailors gave up. Now, you know, when the stewardess gives up, when the pilot gives up, you're in rough shape. It hit the ship so hard, the ship was carried along by the wind. And as they passed the little island of Clauda, the Bible says the gale winds hit them again. This time the storm became so violent that the crew started throwing cargo overboard, trying to lighten the ship. Everyone on board was sick. Even the brave captain got sick in the storm. Paul spoke to those sailors and said, don't worry, we're going to make it. God has scheduled for me an appointment with Caesar. Now I know a preacher, I won't call his name, who was in a plane one day hit by turbulence. And the lady next to him grabbed his arm and was filled with fright. And he said, oh, don't worry, lady, don't worry. Nothing's going to happen to this plane. I'm on this plane.
Yes, that's right.
You figure out who the preacher is. That's how Paul felt. He said, I've got an appointment. God's got an appointment for me with Caesar. This ship is not going down. We're going to make it. And the Bible says, and you read the text, at midnight on the 14th day, in other words, for 2 weeks, they were driven out to sea. About 500 miles off course, the sailors dropped a line, measured overboard, found that the water was 120 feet deep. A few hours later, it was 90 feet deep. And I love the way the King James described it in verse 27. If you have your Bibles, Acts 27, 27. But when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight. The shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, sounded, that means they dropped the line, found it 20 fathoms. When they'd gone a little further, they sounded it again, found it 15 fathoms, 90 feet. Then fearing, verse 29, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast what?
Four
anchors. Four anchors out of the stern. And verse 29, everyone was afraid and expected that at any moment we would be smashed on the rocks. So they let down four anchors from the back of the ship, and we prayed that these would keep us in place until the morning. Brothers and sisters, as I read again this scripture, this text grabbed me. It jumped out at me. Lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors and wished for the day. I admit to you, it has become increasingly difficult to preach from sailing metaphors to jet age Christians.
All right.
We don't preach about sea and sailing because it's hard for people who have never seen a ship. And there are a lot of people who are sitting in this congregation today who have never seen an anchor. But today, this scripture captivated my imagination. Lest we should have fallen upon rocks, we cast four anchors. We live in an age where more young people have seen planes than they've seen ships. And so to explain the purpose of an anchor so that the modern mind can understand requires you to come with me a little bit and use your imagination. How do you explain the purpose of an anchor to those who have never seen a ship? What is an anchor? The dictionary says that an anchor is a device usually made of metal attached to a boat or ship by a cable. An anchor is something that digs into the bottom and holds something in place. An anchor. No matter how big, how elegant, how fast, how grand a ship is, it needs an anchor. Without an anchor, a ship is in danger of being wrecked. Years ago in New York, there were what were called wrecking steamers, which spent all their time fishing on the bottom for anchors. When ships lost anchors, this steamer would come along and fish for anchors. Once they found an anchor that weighed 6 tons, it fell off of a United States cruiser named Brooklyn. The Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, knew how important it is for a ship to have an anchor. And so he says here in our scripture, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors. Paul knew that the tug of the ship is to be away from the shore. You see, that's what a ship wants to do. It wants to be away from the shore and out on the open sea. Paul knew that without an anchor, it is the very nature of ships to drift. Without an anchor, Paul knew that it is the anchor that holds a ship back and keeps it from drifting.
That's right.
But this morning, I came to tell you about the best anchor in the world.
All right.
You see, we too, as sinners, it is in our very nature to feel the tug and call of the wild.
All right.
It is in our nature to be drawn by what is dangerous. For ships, some of the greatest danger comes not from storms and from tempests, but just from drifting. When you don't study the Word of God, when you don't pray, you begin to drift and you're in danger. Someone said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
Yeah.
As sinners, it is in our nature to drift. We change. People change. Our calendars change. Everything is shifting and changing. Relationships change. Like ships, we drift closer to some people, and from others, we drift away. It is human nature to drift. We look around us, and even the society around us is adrift. Some might even say the church is adrift. Because of sin, to drift is the very nature of life. It causes us to be perplexed, even disoriented. Instinctively, we begin then to look for some anchor, some sense of permanence, something that will hold. We feel in our souls that to be anchored, how can I say this? We don't like to be anchored.
Well, mama.
Listen to me. We are ships that don't like to be anchored.
Mm.
To be anchored to us means to be limited, to be conscribed, to be controlled. To be anchored means to be held back from roaming. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
To be anchored for us is to be confined, to be held back, to be held down. We see anchors as our enemy, not as our friends. We see the one thing that stands in the way of our independence is an anchor. Some might even say to be anchored means to be bored. You see the same horizons every day. You see the same shores. You don't get to do exciting things. You see the same outline. Some might even say that an anchor is a hindrance to a ship that wants to sail, a ship that wants to do its thing. Some might even say that it is an encumbrance, an impediment. Some look at an anchor as a nuisance.
All right.
Keeping me back. I want to sail on the wild sea. I want to live life on the wild side. An anchor's gonna hold me back. Oh, but hear me. For a ship to make port, as you are trying to make heaven your home, storms come up.
That's right.
In other words, brothers and sisters, you're a ship heading for heaven's port.
Amen.
And as you come to your heavenly home, storms are gonna come up. And the anchor that keeps you
The anchor is what keeps you from being wrecked.
That's right.
Keeps you from running against the shoals and the reefs and the rocks. In case you don't realize it, the ship of Zion is nearing heaven's harbor. We are nearing home, brothers and sisters. And God's word has forecasted that as you near home, you're going to get some wild storms. You're going to get some dangerous storms. Jesus said, take heed. When you get near your heavenly home, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive. Many shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. As you come closer to your heavenly home, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. You're going to experience storms as you come closer to your heavenly home. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. As you near heaven's home, you're going to be bombarded by storms. Your little ship is going to need an anchor. Help me, Jesus. When they persecute you in this city, flee into another. All about us, in every region of this globe, storm clouds are gathering. Political uncertainties, economic uncertainties, social, national upheaval, tension, unrest. All around us, men and women are looking for an anchor for their souls. Something to hold them secure in an age of insecurity. Something in which to place their confidence. Church, hear me today. Read your Bible for yourself. Don't always need other people to interpret for you. Because soon you will be in the midst of, and the church will be in the midst of theological storms. And we are now in the calm before the storm. There are those among you who will challenge the very underpinnings of your faith. They will question the foundation of your most closely held religious beliefs. But I know when storms of theological dispute are raging all about us, we have an anchor. If there ever was a time to be sure that your soul had an anchor, that time is now. People don't worry about anchors when the seas are calm. When the trials come up, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. When the disappointments sweep over you, you have an anchor. Every soul needs an anchor. The seas of life are littered with shoals and rocks that threaten the safety. You need an anchor lest you be driven off course by some gust of passion. Huh? All of a sudden, that wind of passion hits you and you're off course. That wind of appetite, those bodily cravings, and you're off course. But remember, the most grave danger that you face is not from the storms, but from drifting. Are you drifting? I said, are you drifting? You see, just as it is the nature of a stone to fall or water to run down, it is the nature of the soul to drift. Because of our human nature, our soul needs an anchor. And that's why Paul says, and I want you to come with me now, Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly, oh, listen, you gotta, now you'll understand this text. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise the immutability of his counsel. Oh, listen to this. God confirmed it by an oath. You know what that means? God swore by himself. Because there's nobody else higher to swear by. So he swore by himself. That by two immutable things, in which it was, what? Impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, listen, verse 19. Which hope we have as a what? Anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And then listen to this next verse, this line, which does what?
entereth into that within the veil. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hope has been called the backbone of life. Amen. Hope is the power to be cheerful in difficult circumstances. The precept of hope rests upon fact. And that's why God says, I swear by myself an oath. And 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, before I come near to the close of this message, this metaphor of the anchor was widely used back in Bible times, and it only occurs in the New Testament in this scripture. This hope we have as an anchor, this is my soul's stabilizing force. Amen. It is a living hope. It is a steadying anchor in all that I do. Amen. I've got solid footing. Yes. I've got eternal security. This hope is my anchor. Amen. It entereth within the veil. Yeah. Hope. Yeah. We have this hope. It is our anchor. Yeah. That entereth within the veil. Now, what does that mean? You see, in the sanctuary, the veil separated the holy place from the most holy place. Are you with me today? The most holy place was where the presence of God was. So what Paul is saying here is, I've got a hope that is an anchor that doesn't just reach to the holy place. It reaches past the veil. This anchor reaches within the most holy place. But what is in the most holy place? In the most holy place, it is there, the mercy seat of God. So my hope is anchored in the mercy of God. I've got a hope, and it is my anchor. It reaches within the veil, and it is anchored at the seat of mercy.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today and to the end of today's program. I certainly hope that you've been blessed by the message you heard today. We have an anchor. This is program number 220 in our series, and if you'd like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Remember to refer today to program number 220. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. We're out of time. But I do want to wish you God's richest blessings and invite you to join us again for another program. Until then, though, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.